As we were studying the last couple of days, I kept asking God, what is it you want to say to your people? That's always a good place to ask. What does he want to say? I found that everything I need in life, every obstacle I've ever faced, he has the answer for. And sometimes he answers questions when I'm spending time with him listening. He answers questions that I didn't even ask. Because many times he knows the questions that are in my heart. And he knows the ones I haven't even thought to ask yet. Because he is good. So as we are studying this week, he brought this thing to my consciousness. The title, Living with Abundant Life. And it struck me that he didn't say living in abundant life. He said living with abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we probably all know the verse. It says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. And the verse prior to that, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So God's response is abundant life. I heard somebody say recently, the devil may be defeated, but he didn't surrender. He's still out there. He's still a thief. He's still a liar. His authority was taken at the cross, but he's still trying to deceive people into thinking he's still the one running the show. So we have to know how to live with abundant life. As I was studying this, I hit John chapter 4, verse 14, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said, whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And as I was asking God, what do you mean by living with abundant life? He spoke to me about experiencing it ourselves and giving it away. Experiencing it and giving it. So in John chapter 4, he's telling the woman, you will have a spring of water living up to eternal life. And in John chapter 7, verse 38, near the end of his ministry, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within you. Amen. So we have this two-picture thing, a well in us and a river to flow from us. And as I was studying this, it occurred to me, it struck me, you know, I've known one of the scriptures that we learned when we were kids, at least in my family, was Psalms 23. And verse 5 says, my cup runs over. My cup runneth over. And as a kid, I thought, isn't that kind of wasteful? But God measures things by overflow. And it wasn't until later that I realized it wasn't just that he wanted to fill my cup. He wanted the overflow through us, through me, to other people. Because he's all about other people. So he wants you to experience things in your life. But then he wants it to be so overflowing that it flows from you to others. You and others. And I've heard this saying not too long ago, he's given us the spirit within for me and given us the spirit upon for you. It's not just for my life, but it's also to minister to other people. First for me, then for others. I was reminded recently, somebody, when you're on an air flight, and they'll tell you about in case we have a water landing, like that happens every day, you know, that's just normal operation of an airliner. But they said, the oxygen mask will fall down. You first put it on yourself, and then you help others. Because you're not much good to anybody else if you die in your seat. Okay? So we have the grace of God in us for us, but it's also there to flow out from us to other people. And so we see that as a principle that God has. He wants to bless the world through us, but he wants it to come through us. We have to experience it. Jesus said, you have freely received, freely give. You can't give what you don't have. So we have to experience the love of God in our lives and our fruitfulness. And we see this experience in a lot of different degrees. We see it in life. When Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give, it was right after he sent them out to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. So he's talking about physical manifestations of his power through us. Freely you have received, freely give. But we also see that in other things. I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 9:11. Usually we use that to teach on giving. That's a section where Paul talks about giving. But one of the verses that stood out to me this week was, you will be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. It's the same principle. We receive so we can be generous. Al talked about being Gates this morning, this afternoon. And I was thinking of that as I was studying this, that we are portals. We are gates. And it's our job. We stand in the kingdom. We're seated with him in heavenly places, but we also stand here. It's like we have one foot in this kingdom and one foot in this. And our function is to take the resources of God, the blessings of God, the love of God in its various forms and minister to the people out here who don't know the Father. Let your light so shine, Jesus said, that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We take what God has given us and minister to the people around us. And the key to doing that is having a revelation of the fact that we are hooked up to, we are connected to unlimited resources. Unlimited. And so we bless people, not just financially, but with life. Life is what we do. Taste and see, Jesus said. Taste means experience the love of God. See means perceive the love of God. We have to both know it and see it and experience it. We have to taste it. You cannot give what you don't have. And it's kind of hard to talk someone into something that you're not convinced of yourself. We got to experience the power and love of God. And we have seen it in our lives. And we're going to share a couple of testimonies today. As we've talked about testimonies already, they are an important thing. I'll talk a little more about that after you're done.
Hi. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be able to share what Jesus has done in my life and the life of others. Jesus, you get all the honor. This is so exciting because my heart's desire after I got married was to have a lot of babies. And I was just so excited about it. And I couldn't wait to teach them about Jesus. And I just wanted to have lots of babies. Well, I couldn't have a baby and I couldn't get pregnant. And I was so devastated. I was so heartbroken. My dream was shattered. And I was hopeless. And Mark would say, well, you have me. Just like Elkanah and told Hannah, you have me. Yes, and I'm so thankful. But I wanted babies. And I think God put that desire in my heart. And God gives you the desires of your heart as you delight in him. And so we were in a church that didn't teach about healing. I didn't know Jesus as healer. And, you know, we were just praying and crying out to God. And we learned that Jesus heals. We learned that Jesus is a healer. And so we just started praying and reading the word and listening to healing messages. And one day God just quickened to Mark and he laid hands on me and commanded everything to be open. And everything to get in line and get in order. And within a month, I was pregnant. So I have four beautiful children who are miracles of God. You know, God wants to heal our bodies. He wants to reveal himself as Jehovah Rapha. I had to believe what Jesus did on the cross, the salvation. But that doesn't just include salvation. It includes healing and wholeness and peace of mind. And I had to believe the word. I had to raise my expectation to wait, to look, to hope. It was an intended promise that God put in our hearts, and nothing and no one was going to take me off of that, because I believed that I was pregnant before I was pregnant. It didn't happen immediately that Mark laid hands on me, but we just knew that I was pregnant no matter what the doctor said, no matter what my body was saying. I had to change my thoughts, my perception, the definition of ability to perception, the ability to see, to hear, to become aware of something through the process. It was a process. It was a journey. And the fact was, I couldn't have children. But the truth of the word of God said in Isaiah 53:5, by whose wounds we are healed. And then in the New Testament, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed. I have been healed. I was able to conceive a baby. My body was healed and whole because of the blood and the stripes of Jesus. In Hebrews 11:1 in the Passion Translation, now faith brings our hope into reality, and they become the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. I longed for babies. It is the evidence required to prove what was still unseen. And in the Amplified, it says, faith perceiving as real fact.
One of the things we learned after a while is that facts are facts, but truth overcomes facts. Truth will change facts. The truth of God's word changed the fact. It was an interesting process we went through, because we didn't know all that much, but we started memorizing what the word said about healing. And one of the things that really struck out at me was Genesis, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. That was God's plan from day one for man. And he hasn't changed his thinking on that. Fruitfulness is something God wants to happen. In fact, I was studying a scripture recently that said, if you abide in me, it's in John 15, I believe, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So abiding in him, being in his presence, being connected to the source of all life, and having his word in us, will bring forth, you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. It'll bring forth answered prayer. You'll bear much fruit. Answered prayer is fruit. That's the way God sees it. You will give glory to the Father. Some people have is not sure how to bring God glory, but answered prayer brings God glory. Amen. And you will show yourself to be my disciples. That will be proof that you are disciples of the living God when your prayers are answered. So this is what he has for us. This is what he wants for us. He wants people to see his power and life in us to the point where it has an effect on the outside. And so we studied the word. We memorized the Bible verses. We prayed a lot. And then one day, this pretty much culminated in one day, I stepped into I can still see it. We stepped in through the door of our one-bedroom apartment. And I don't know what was going on in my mind, but I remember praying, God, what is the problem? It had been a while. We had been believing. We'd been studying. We'd been saying what the word said. We had dreams. We picked out, he'd given us names of our first two children. We knew we'd have a son, and he'd have an older sister. We saw all that. So one day, I walked through that door of the apartment. I said, God, what is the problem here? And I heard him speak to me very clearly, very succinctly. And he said, you need to do this. And he told me something to do, which took me about 20 seconds to do. And within a month, we were expecting.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I used to tell people what God told me to do, because everybody's looking for that, the magic words. But the fact is, he gave me the words to say. I said the words. And I can't tell you exactly what they are. She remembers them one way, I remember them another way. But basically, I spoke to her body and said, be open and be loosed and be whole. Something to that effect. And it's not so much the specific words I said. It was, number one, being obedient. Number two, speaking what he told me to do. It doesn't matter the wording. The authority of God is the authority of God. That's all. And that was it. It wasn't hard to do. So I would say the importance, the things that I learned was, know what the word says. Believe what God said, and then listen for his voice. And do what he tells you to do. And typically, when you're bringing forth the kingdom, it's going to involve speaking. Amen. We are speaking people. We are people who declare, we are people who proclaim, and that's how things happen. That's how the kingdom goes forth. And since that time, it's a bug. Since that time, we have seen 7 other couples who couldn't have children have children. Once you have seen it, it becomes a living reality. Taste and see. In one case, one couple couldn't have children. The wife had cancer. She had uterine cancer. That's why she couldn't have children. God healed her, and now she has 3 children. This is the power of the Word of God. This is God. This is what he wants to do in us. Now, the point is, we took what he brought for us, and we used what we learned to minister to other people. Freely you have received, freely give. This is what life is for. So we live with the knowledge that we carry abundant life. The word says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. We carry that life. We have to recognize that we carry him around with us. You know, the word says, I was just thinking about a testimony this morning, that in Revelation it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm talking about the devil. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb because he has not surrendered. We will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I thought about this for a long time. And I know, the blood of the Lamb, that's a powerful thing. How is the word of our testimony right up there with the blood of the Lamb? How is that possible? And I got a revelation of this. Because the word of our testimony is not my testimony, it's the testimony of Jesus. It's not how well I did, it's not the great thing I did, it's what he did. And not just in the victories in life, but even when I failed, he has been good and faithful. The testimony of Jesus is the good news. And the good news is the power of God unto salvation. The good news is declaring that he is alive and well.
Amen.
And there's another verse in Revelation, verse 19, that says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? That means what Jesus did for me is what he wants to do for you.
Yes.
That's his word to you. If I feel compelled by God to speak about the testimony of having children when he couldn't, it's because he wants somebody else to experience that. Every testimony is a seed to more testimonies.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's who we are.
Amen.
That's who he is. So he wants us to experience it internally for us, and he wants it to be a river to flow through us to other people. This is how we fulfill what Jesus told us to do. That first thing in the disciples' prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, that's how it happens. It comes through us to the people around us. We take the love of God in its various forms, and we minister to people who don't know the Father. I heard someone say, it's like giving out samples in Costco. We hand out the samples, and people keep coming back for a second and third one. And if they like it well enough, they're going to want to buy the product. If they like what we're giving out, they're going to want to know the source of what we're giving out. The goodness of God that leads people to repentance, turning around, changing their thinking. You've got another testimony. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. That's right. I forgot it. Second testimony. Last year, let me back it up a little bit. So we had our first child, Rachel Elizabeth. It was an amazing thing. And I cried like a baby when she was born, I tell you. And she was born on Father's Day. And years have gone by, and Rachel has grown up, and Rachel got married 10 years ago. And not long after that, at some point in time, they told us they were unable to have children either. And I thought, something, this is not right. This should not be this way. And I'm thinking there's something. I've discovered whenever there's an issue and something that we've got to deal with, all I need is the revelation of God. Because he has the answer to every problem we'll ever have. The word says Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the earth. That means he had the solution before the problem existed. And he has the solution to every problem. If I spend enough time listening, eventually I'll get a revelation. And that will free us. Revelation of God will free you. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. And that comes from God. So I was praying about Rachel not being able to have children. She was married like 9 years, not being able to have children. And one day as I was praying, I call it praying, I'm usually just listening, I got this, I don't know what to call it, but basically God said, what the enemy tried to do to you, he's trying to do to your daughter, to your children. Keep us unfruitful. What he couldn't make happen in our lives, he's trying to make happen in theirs. And I saw it so clearly. And it rose up on the inside of me. And I said, no. What does it mean to decree? It means speak with the authority of the court. In this case, it's the court of God. I said, no. You're not going to steal my grandchildren. You're not going to hurt my daughter that way. You're not doing this. No. She will have children. And I was pretty adamant about it. Okay. Sometimes you yell, you know. And I just knew it. I knew it on the inside. I saw it. We had seen the problem. And they came to visit us last summer. They were here for 2 weeks with our granddaughter, who was adopted. And then the very last day, the day before they were heading back home, which is typically a difficult day in our house when they're going back to Arizona. Hard to say goodbye to your children and your grandchildren. They came in just before that with big grins on their faces to tell us they were expecting. God is good. And Eleanor was born St. Patrick's Day. Yes. because God is good. And what he did for us, he wants to show forth from us to others. Because he is good.
Psalm 67, 1 and 2 in the Passion says, God, keep us near your mercy fountain and bless us. And when you look down on us, may your face beam with joy. Send us out all over the world so that everyone, everywhere, will discover your ways and know who you are and see your power to save. I have another testimony to give glory to God. We're on the ministry team at church, and one Sunday, this beautiful young girl was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And so my heart of compassion went out to her, and she came up to me for prayer. And I know why she came up to me for prayer. After I asked her, you know, I held her and hugged her, and I said, what's wrong? How can I pray for you? She said, I can't have a baby, and I want babies. And I said, well, you came to the right person, because I have a testimony. And I quickly shared my testimony. And then I shared Rachel's testimony. And I told her about my daughter after 10 years, how she got pregnant and how God healed her and how we are still rejoicing in that. And so I laid hands on her. And I don't know exactly what I said, but I know the Holy Spirit just moved upon my heart and upon my mouth. And I just spoke and I just declared, and I just knew it was done. I'm like, you're pregnant. It's done. I know it is. So I kept in touch with her a little bit, but hadn't seen her at church for a while. And before she left that day, God put it on my heart. He said, I want you to sow a seed for a crib for her. And I said, okay, I just wanted to obey. I didn't have any cash. I don't usually carry cash. So I thought, oh, I'll check Mark's wallet. Well, he was praying with someone else. So I grabbed the wallet, and there was money in there. It was $20, okay? So I was like, all right, God, this is all we have. But this is a seed that's going to be planted for this baby's crib. So I started to share with her about just the seed for the crib and how God was going to provide everything this baby needed. And she was so overwhelmed, because when she was young and her mom didn't have a lot, her mom was a single mom, someone sowed a seed to bless them. And it just touched her heart so much. It's like God knew exactly what would touch her heart and give her encouragement. And after we got home, I told Mark, I took $20 out of your wallet. And he said, you know, Saturday night, God told me to put that in my wallet. And I didn't know why. Oh, but God did. I love how the Holy Spirit leads and he guides and he nudges. It's gentle sometimes, but just obey, because it's so exciting. You just don't know what's going to happen. So I hadn't seen her for a while. Rachel was in Rochester in June this year. She came to church with us. And there was this beautiful young girl, pregnant. And she got to see Rachel and Eleanor. And here we're hugging and crying and praising God. And she's saying, you know, Rachel, your testimony gave me so much hope on the part in the times when I wasn't pregnant yet. And I just rejoice. God is so amazing. John 10:10 in the Passion says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Now, Mark shared a testimony the day that Eleanor was born. I was in Arizona. He was in Rochester. He got the phone call of Eleanor being born just before church. He shared a testimony during worship about Rachel's healing. And about a couple weeks later, another woman came up to me and said, I heard your husband's testimony about you and about Rachel and Eleanor. Can you pray for my daughter? Because she's having a hard time getting pregnant. And so I said, yes, I will. And so I prayed for her and, you know, didn't hear anything back. Sometimes you don't hear something back right away, but you still believe in faith and believe that God did it no matter what. You may never know, but in heaven you'll know. And so in a couple weeks, she came up to me in the prayer line and said, my daughter's pregnant. So I just want to give so much glory and honor to God. In Jeremiah 30:17, God says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. He restored my body, enabled me to have children, and healed the wounds that I had, the disappointment, the hopelessness, the discouragement. And that's what he wants to do for everyone else, no matter what healing that you need. I heard this really awesome quote. It says, your ministry is found where you've been broken. Your testimony is found where you have been restored. So I've been restored. God gets glory.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
In Ephesians chapter 3, this became a revelation to me in the last couple of years, where God says, where the word says, he's the one who is exceedingly abundant. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That means if we can think of it, he can think of something better. Yeah. There is no, oh, no, that's too big for God. Oh, you're stepping out too much. He's not taken by surprise by anything you think of. Anything you need, he's already got the solution to. All we have to do is believe what it says. He is the God who does exceedingly abundantly. And the real cool thing about that verse, it says, according to his power that is at work within you. His power is already in you. It's taken up residence in you, and we just have to act on it. See, I'm convinced that God wants to do things, but not just in the four walls of this building. Jesus did far more outside the synagogue than he did inside. That's what he wants to do. But we just have to believe what he says. We have to believe in the God that's already inside us. Jesus told the ones before he sent them out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So in the context of that freely, he was talking about physical things, sickness, raising the dead, cleansing the leper. It's not just talking about giving love and warm fuzzies to people. It's about ministering the needs of people. We have to minister to the needs of people. We have to take what we've gotten and expect God to use us. And he will. And I guarantee you, it'll be exciting. God never promised us comfort. I think sometimes we as believers, we're trying to pray every uncomfortable thing out of our lives. But you don't become strong by living comfortably. One of my favorite verses is, Paul's writing, where is that verse? I think it's in Corinthians. But it basically, it says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Always leads us in triumphal procession. And that is the picture of what the Romans did. They would go out and fight these large armies, defeat them, and they would capture the kings and the princes and all the higher up authority, and they would chain them and march them back, parade them back into Rome, and have a big parade of all the captured leaders. That was the triumphal procession into Rome. Bring back the captives, the high-ranking ones. So when it says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession, that means he expects us to go out. Number one, it means we're going to be victors. And you can't be victors without fighting a battle. So we're going to have battles, but we're supposed to be victors if we are following him. We see that in the Old Testament. When the Israelites went and did what God told them to do, they were victorious. And when they got sidetracked or did something they weren't supposed to do, they were defeated. It's all about hearing what God says and going where he says. I'm convinced there's battles in life. They're everywhere. The only difference is if you're led by God to a specific place, you will be in victory. If you walk away from God, you will not. So there's going to be battles. Who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. We walk around doing battle with what the enemy's doing, destroying the works of the devil, the same as Jesus did. As he was, so are we in the earth. And we will walk in victory and people will take notice. And sometimes the very people, I've seen this, who may have laughed at us one time, the next day when calamity comes to their household, they're knocking on our doors. We carry the fragrance of life. And people will be drawn to that. People will be drawn to what you have even they don't even when they don't even know what it is. And of course, they're the people that the enemy puts in front of us. They may dislike you immediately. And you'll have no clue why. They don't have a clue why. We know it's because of what's in them doesn't like what's in us. They won't have an explanation for it. We can expect that as well. But victory is still the best option. That's what we walk in. We are out there to destroy the works of the devil, same as Jesus. We have to live it in our lives, in us, and let it go through us to other people. That means we have to be bold. We have to know the God that we serve. We've got to know that he is alive and well, and he will give us victory. We've got to know that his word is alive and powerful. We have got to know that he is the one who does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He is our God.
In Exodus 33:16, Moses is talking to God and he said, "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people, who will recognize us from every other person or people on the face of the earth?" I love that. How are they going to know that we're different? How are they going to know that we love Jesus and we have hope? And we have Jesus, the healing power of God, the delivering power of God, the salvation of God. How will they know if they don't see us? How will they know? We have to be bold, and we just have to be like messengers. We're just delivery people. We just hear what God says, we obey, and we go and do what God says for us to do. We're just messengers. It's not anything about us, but it's all about Jesus.
In this section in Exodus, God told Moses, "Go, take your people and go." And Moses said, "If you're not coming with us, we're not going." Which sounds kind of disrespectful, but that pleased God. Because it showed him that Moses had an understanding that when God was with them, they were going to be victorious. That's what it means. In the Old Testament, when you see that, when God was with them, it always meant victory. I think we've sort of lost that. We've gotten used to the fact that God is ever present. But this is talking about when God is with us, when we are confident of that, we can expect victory. Even if we don't see it today or tomorrow, even if we don't see it in our lifetime, the word does not return void. At some point in time, this is the way I pray for unbelievers I know. A Damascus Road experience. The worst guy you know, the guy you think could never find Jesus, all it takes is him appearing and them seeing him. And there'll be something totally different. God showed me this one time. I was at a meeting, men's meeting, a bunch of men from church that I knew pretty well. And these are guys I loved and respected. And one of them felt compelled to tell his testimony, and he went on to talk about how he used to be a drug dealer. And that was kind of surprising to me. And then the next guy said, I was a drug dealer as well. And a third guy said, I was a drug dealer as well. And a fourth guy said, whoa. You would not have known it from these guys. But God can take people like that, that you can write off, and you don't think can never happen, and turn them into someone that you would never imagine. Someone who follows God. All they need. The word says every knee will bow. What does that mean? Every person on the earth will stand before God and their knee will bow. Does that mean the angels are kicking him in the back of the knee, making it happen? I don't think so. I think a revelation of who God is will make people bow. They'll be irresistible. And all I do when I pray for people is they get to see that God here now instead of then. They will. There are no unbelievers. There are pre-believers. They will believe at some point. But better that they believe here and now than then. A revelation of who God is. That's what they need. That's what everyone needs. In fact, that's what I need. A fresh revelation of how much he loves me. His mercies are new every morning. I'm convinced it's because I need a revelation of his love. Frequently. Because I can forget. So that's our closing. How will the world know that God is with us unless we are doing the works of God? That's what we're called to do. That is my destiny. That is your destiny. To change this world. All of us were created. Why are we left here? To wait for the next bus out? Free trip, post trip, mid trip? We're here to change the world. Amen. That's what we're here for. And that's what he has prepared for us to do. The good works that he prepared ahead of time for us to do. So I don't like using the word challenge, but I challenge you. Find out. Go to God and ask him, who am I? And let him tell you. And you'll walk away from there a different person. Because there is no better place to be than where he wants us to be. And you will never have, he will give you boldness that you will not be able to comprehend when you find out who he created you to be. That's where you want to be. And God is good. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are true. Your word is true. You are faithful. You are faithful. Even when we have been unfaithful, you are faithful. We thank you, Father, for the good things you have for us. That you are the author of everything good. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from you. Because you are the Father of lights. The Father of revelation. And you don't change. We thank you, Father, for this. We ask that you bless these people. That your word will rise up on the inside of them. They will remember the things that you have spoken. And they will remember that you have called them to great things. And the people who know their God will do great exploits. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.